Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, the fourth Sunday in Advent. No animals or plants or warm fuzzies from Isaiah this week, but a rebuke to a king in the form of a baby's name. Paul starts his letter to the Romans with God's call of grace in Christ, and in Matthew, Joseph gets one surprise after another. Lo, how a rose air blooming, the podcast I have in mind.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Advent, Year A, is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. A little bit of background for this. King Ahaz is feeling a little bit of threat from the northern kingdom of Israel and the even further northern kingdom of Syria, who are trying to come against him because he wants to form an alliance with Assyria. Lots of intrigue and lots of politics and stuff going here. And so the prophet Isaiah gets wind of what Ahaz wants to do and goes to him and is trying to convince him not to do this alliance with Assyria, and says to him, "The Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven.' But Ahaz says, 'No.'" And he couches it in terms of being pious, of you're not supposed to put the Lord your God to the test. And Isaiah's like, "Oh, come on. Ask.
Please.
Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary God also?" And so Isaiah says, "Then therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign if you're not even going to ask for it." And so then he talks about a young woman who is pregnant and is about to have a child and is going to name this child, when this child shows up, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And essentially, this particular sign is God saying to Ahaz, look, what you're worried about, by the time this child is born and is weaned, the threat that is assailing you will be dust. You have nothing to worry about. Trust me. It doesn't turn out that way, but, you know, that's where we are.
Because Ahaz doesn't trust him.
Because Ahaz doesn't trust God. Exactly. And Ahaz is really kind of probably already made up his mind that's the way he's going to go. And he doesn't want God to give him a sign that says, nope, don't do that. Because, you know, he's made up his mind and
right.
There's no shifting him. Anyway, looking at the intelligences, the smarts for this particular passage, David and I have gone two different ways on what we think the primary expressed intelligence is. The primary expressed intelligence of a particular passage is one intelligence that seems to be the most obvious of the eight identified smarts. If you're strong in that particular intelligence, it will seem to pop right out at you as you read through the passage. So what we try to do is attempt to figure out what that is for each of the texts. And then once we have that, we look at the other intelligences to find ways into the text that makes that pop for everybody else. So I think the primary expressed intelligence for this particular passage is math, and David thinks it is.
I think it's people.
Well, okay. Well, we have some ideas for the intelligences, and you can find those on the worksheet at our website, www.morethanhearing.org. You can take a look at that worksheet and see what we came up with. But we're going to concentrate today on eye, body, and there's a little bit of cross-pollination that's happening with word and math, and David's going to talk to us about that one.
Okay, so we have a quote from Fred Gaiser at Working Preacher, one of our favorite sites, and it says, "The Word of God is not a simple prediction that will come true in a latter day or an equation to be solved to get one final answer. It is a living word that kills and makes alive in every generation, always needing to be proclaimed anew, always carrying both continuity and surprise." So as you hear that, it's talking about the Word of God, and it's also talking about it as not being an equation. So that it kind of falls into both math and word smart that way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
and a lot of these passages do that. There's elements of more than one smart or more than one intelligence that fit.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is talking about the prophetic word in particular, mm-hmm. In this case, how it is fluid in the face of Ahaz's response.
Yes. There you go. That's very good. And how that particular fluid response even speaks to us today. You'll see how this particular sign that God gives Ahaz shows up again in the Matthew passage, how it's reinterpreted for Matthew's audience.
Right.
For iSmart, we're looking at God saying, "Oh, well, I'll give you a sign." Todd Weir, who writes a blog at Blooming Cactus, has a really good story about seeking a sign from God. We have a link to that in the show notes. It's the third paragraph down if you follow the link on his post. Essentially what it is he was looking for some guidance about a particular situation one time, and he made a deal. Okay, I'm going to open the Bible, and whatever, if the Old Testament opens, it's this answer. If the New Testament opens, it's that answer. And so he kind of chucks the Bible at the table, and it lands on its side, and it doesn't open up. And it's really a really good story. I highly recommend going to look at that. It's good. It kind of goes along with what Fred Geiser also talks about in his blog post at Working Preacher, that the double-edged sword of the Word, it's the coming of God. This is what the Word is all about. God is coming. And sometimes we don't know whether to laugh or cry at that. So maybe what you can do for a special effect is to make a double-sided sign. On one side, write, "God is coming, beware." And then on the other side, write, "God is coming, rejoice." And hold either side up as you preach on the coming of God. Sometimes it's a warning. Sometimes it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Or for another special effect that you could do for an eye, a visual effect, take a crib, a bassinet, or a cradle and put it next to the pulpit because this baby is coming. Or even a baby bottle or a baby's cup and a baby's dish, because by the time Emmanuel is weaned, the threat to Ahaz will be gone.
For Body Smart, we have for an illustration a quote from, a quoted phrase from Delmer Chilton, who is at Lectionary Lab Live.
Well, the quote is from the TV show Evening Shade that used to star Burt Reynolds. It was on ages ago. And these two kids are talking about God, and one of them is finding a need to have some comfort about the reality of God. And so they're talking about it, and one of them says, they're talking about what they think God is, and this one kid says, it would just be more comforting if God had his skin on.
And the way that we'll see this passage used in the Matthew passage will give us a little bit more about God with his skin on. Also, we have a quote from John Ortberg. He makes the case, the central promise in the Bible is not, "I will forgive you," although, of course, that is there. It is not the promise of life after death, although we are offered that as well. The most frequent promise in the Bible is, "I will be with you." So that's a little people smart, but it sets us up for a special effect here. Because not being alone is such a desperate need for humans, and it's addressed by God with Emmanuel, God with us, invite your congregation to remind themselves that they are not alone by holding someone else's hand or putting a hand on somebody's shoulder or just looking each other in the eye. And making some physical contact during the rest of the service.
Cool. Let's go on.
The New Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday of Advent, year A, is Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This is obviously the introduction to the epistle, in which Paul is introducing himself, and doing so in that wonderfully verbose way that he has, of going on at great length, because he's not only introducing himself, but he's also introducing the major themes of the whole epistle. And so he is telling them that he is a servant of Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel. Then he talks about what the gospel's all about, that it was promised by God through the scriptures and the prophets, that it is concerning Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and that Jesus was declared Son of God through his resurrection. And then he goes on to talk about how that gospel gives Paul the authority to extend grace on behalf of Christ to the Gentiles, including y'all that we're writing to here. So so we find several things in here. The use of the word servant, or actually more literally slave. So Paul is showing that he is doing this on behalf of somebody else, that his life is given over to the service of Christ. And then several times uses the word call, either for himself, first for himself, then for Gentiles in general, and then for the saints in Rome. So those are some things that you might want to pay attention to as you're working your way through there, that sense of call and service. So for the primary expressed intelligence here, this is a challenging little piece of text here to try and come up with something for one intelligence. But I think the primary intelligence here is self-smart. And Molly says,
I think it's word.
So we will say more about that at the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org. And we also have our worksheet there, so you can see all our work on this text. But for now, we want to look at iSmart, PeopleSmart, and SelfSmart. So Molly's going to start us with the iSmart.
Okay, well, the iSmart is not specifically referred to in this particular passage. It's kind of alluded to with the idea of the resurrection. And as I was reading some commentary on this, someone quoted Martin Luther by saying that the wood of the manger is also the wood of the cross. The idea that this particular passage is being read in the fourth Sunday in Advent, the next Sunday is Christmas. This year, the next Sunday is Christmas.
Yeah.
But the next, whatever. Anyway.
Christmas is coming quick.
Right. Yeah. It's after this. The idea being that we are in this preparation of time for the coming of a child. And so Luther is making the connection between the coming of the baby and the crucifixion of the man that the baby becomes. And so that's just an interesting illustration to talk about how Paul particularly understands who Jesus is in terms of the crucifixion and the resurrection. But you couldn't have had that without a birth. And since that's what we're celebrating in this season, it just sort of seems to kind of fall into that. So using that particular quote, the wood of the manger is also the wood of the cross, bring in some wood and stack it up so that it looks like a manger. And then as you read the passage or as you preach on this particular passage, move the wood around to construct a cross out of it. And notice that ultimately, and maybe you can even say this explicitly, that both are left empty. Both of them are just precursors to Jesus' ultimate victory in resurrection.
For PeopleSmart, thinking about Paul's extended introduction of himself here.
Goes on forever.
It does. And made me think, anyway, of some of the very long titles that some certain royalty adopt for themselves. And so went looking for a few, and we have a couple of examples for you that we'll have in the show notes. But for example, all hail his grace, Joffrey of House Baratheon. How do you say that?
Baratheon?
Baratheon?
I don't know. I don't watch the show. I only read the books.
Joffrey of Houses Baratheon and Lannister, first of his name, king of the Andals and the First Men, lord of the Seven Kingdoms and protector of the realm. So, yeah, that's from Crown of
Realm. Now I can't think of the name of it. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. So, yeah. Or His Majesty George VI, by the grace of God of Great Britain, Ireland, and the British dominions beyond the seas, King, Defender of the Faith, Emperor of India.
You kind of need to read that in a Monty Python voice,
almost,
you know.
Almost, yes.
Yeah.
And one more. Idi Amin actually had quite a few titles. His Excellency, President for Life, Field Marshal Al-Haji, Dr. Idi Amin Dada, Victorious Cross, Distinguished Service Order and Military Cross Recipient, Lord of all the beasts of the earth and fishes of the seas, and Conqueror of the British Empire in Africa in general, and Uganda in particular, Uncrowned King of Scotland.
Oh, right. Yeah, he did claim that, didn't he?
Indeed. So, yeah. Paul.
Wow.
Take that, Paul.
You're just a slave of Jesus. Guy.
Mercy.
Coming then, finally, to Self-Smart, we have a special effect. And so if we're looking at this extensive introduction of Paul, we wonder, what would you do if you're going to introduce yourself by describing your call to the works of ministry for Christ? And what would you say? So we put together a template for you, and you can find that at the show notes. It'll be listed in with the links. Some various questions about who you are and what you have done for Jesus and what sorts of titles or attributes of Christ might be related to your ministry. So we actually have something that you can fill out sort of Mad Lib style. And so you can take a look at that and see if maybe there might be a place you could use that introduction. Hi, I'm blah, 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 blah. All of these things in terms of your service for Jesus.
And wouldn't it be interesting to think of ourselves more often in those terms?
Yeah, it really would. Let's go on. The gospel lesson for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We are starting off with Matthew's version of the birth of the Messiah. This is one of the few places in the gospels where Joseph ever actually makes an appearance. And this is where he has decided to divorce his wife, Mary, because he has found out some unpleasant information about her. And as he has made this decision, he has a dream that night and an angel says, no, don't do that. Go ahead, marry her, take her as your wife. This is something special. Trust us. And then uses the words from Isaiah 7, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and they'll name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So then Joseph wakes up, does as the angel commands him, and marries Mary. But when the child is born, they name him Jesus, which means God will save us. Mm-hmm. The primary expressed intelligence for this particular passage, I think, is math again, and David thinks it is
self.
Okay. Well, we also have illustrations and special effects for several of the other smarts, and you'll find those on the worksheet at our website, www.morethanhearing.org. But we're going to look specifically at I, music, people, and self for this particular podcast. So, David, what have you got for I?
Well, Joseph here is sort of going against the grain. He's trying to decide what path he should be on, and he's wrestling with that and gets a little benefit from a divine inspiration dream.
We could all have some of that sometimes.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, it'd be a little terrifying at first, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Can be.
Fear not.
Which passage was that? That was the Isaiah passage, right? Yeah. And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that God shows up. Yeah. Anyway, For an illustration for iSmart, because of the spatial relationships that are associated with iSmart, it's like getting stuck in traffic so that it's just, you know, it's not moving at all. And you're not sure if you should keep crawling along with it or turn around and go back and try and find some other way. And then you're texting with your spouse, who lets you know, because you don't have a GPS in your crappy old car.
or a smartphone.
Or a smartphone. And your wife, for example, texts you that there's an accident up ahead, and yes, you should go this other direction. Or no, just you're almost past it and go on ahead.
Oh, you were not past it. You were...
No. This happened to me this past week, as you may be gathering.
You're welcome.
It works out to be a pretty good example. Mm-hmm. So there you go. For a special effect, then, plotting a route on Google Maps or whatever your favorite mapping program would be, or your GPS. And what if you're doing that and you discover that the stretch of road that you always take because you think it's a shortcut is actually neither the shortest nor the fastest route? Yeah. Joseph thinks that he's making a good choice by deciding to divorce Mary, and discovers, no, that's the wrong way, actually.
Don't do that one.
So don't do that. We are also put in mind of that commercial for the Subaru Crosstrek, where the young couple comes to a fork in the road, and they're trying to decide whether to go off into the wild wilderness where strange things happen, or off to the mall to buy khakis. And which way should they go?
Right.
So there you go.
Well, Music Smart is actually going to make an appearance here. We've got a couple things to offer as illustrations. We have one called Joseph's Song by Michael Card. We have a link to that, so you can listen to that. And you might actually already be familiar with it.
Yeah. It's an interesting song, a reflection from Joseph's point of view on how do I raise this child.
I think we sang that as an anthem one
we
time.
Did.
Oh,
I think
it was.
We did.
It was really difficult to hold the note while you're trying not to cry.
Yep.
Anyway, also for a poem, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And for a special effect, let your congregation compose a haiku about Joseph's experience. Remember, a haiku is 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables. So give them an opportunity to put themselves in Joseph's shoes and come up with something. We're also looking at People's Smart and the whole idea of how Joseph's decision is similar to the decision that Ahaz had to make in the Isaiah 7 passage, as both have received a similar promise, but one of them acts in rebellion and says, no thanks, go on my own road, and the other one acts in obedience. This is an idea that came to us from the Lectionary Lab Live podcast, 2 Bubbas and a Bible. We have a link to that. It's also sort of an illustrating between the two of them, Joseph and Ahaz, is sort of like Goofus and Gallant. We've referred to them before. We've got a link to who those guys are.
From Highlights for Children magazine.
Yeah. And something that I read from Janet Hunt at her blog, Dancing with the Word, talking about Joseph as a father. She asked the question, where do you suppose Jesus got the idea that a father always gives good gifts to his children? And where do you suppose he got the image of a father running to welcome home his prodigal son? And where do you think the tenderness in his voice comes from when he says we're to address God as Abba or Daddy, if not from his own experience of having an earthly father in Joseph?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so some special effects for People Smart. Mary and Joseph are not just characters in a stained glass window, but are real flesh and blood people. And so the more we can imagine them as people like us, the more we might be able to imagine ourselves to be people like them. So get together in groups of 3 or so and discuss how God choosing to come into the world this way makes a difference in how we understand our lives and the lives of other people.
For SelfSmart, we have a variety of questions that you can pose to your folks that they can ponder upon. For example, have you ever been in a situation where you were deeply disappointed by someone's behavior? And then has it ever turned out that in such a case, it turned out that the circumstances were not what they appeared to be, and you had to reconsider your disappointment? I think that's what Joseph was going through a bit there. Mm-hmm. Joseph's decision had pretty wide-ranging impact. He protected Mary and made Jesus' birth possible. So ask your folks to ponder this. Who has made a risky decision for your benefit? And have you ever decided to follow a path everyone told you would be insane, but you just knew it was the right way to go?
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.